Northside today with myself, Emma Farrell. Just before the break, we had Robbie Williams, Lana Del Rey and Elton John. But now I am joined by David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. And David is going to chat to us about a meteor shower tomorrow and Thursday and some evening classes in January. David, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Great. So this is, I'm so interested in this. Tell me a little, first of all, about Astronomy Ireland.
Well, we're a group of ordinary members of the public who have a fascination with space and especially what happens in the skies over Ireland, such as the best meteor shower of the year. So this is going to be a really spectacular event up there with eclipses and things that are, you know, definitely worth spending some time out watching. So we want the whole country out watching on Wednesday night and Thursday night in particular, because that's when the meteor shower peaks. It's on at the moment, but it's building towards that maximum activity. And we'd expect to see 20 times more meteors than we would on a normal night. So instead of seeing one every 5 or 10 minutes, which can be a bit boring if you're standing there waiting for them, not looking at anything else, you'll get one or two a minute, which is fantastic. The viewing of the crowd, the oohs and the ahs when one flies over is an amazing experience.
Oh, I can imagine. And tell me, like, what does a meteor shower, what does it look like?
Well, meteors are little bits of space debris left over from comets, or in this case, asteroids. And when the Earth slams into them going around the Sun, the friction makes them heat up and become this fiery streak we see going across the sky, which ancient people call the shooting star, because that's what it looks like, a star shooting across the sky. So in fact, nothing could be further from the truth. Stars are giant things, millions of times bigger than the Earth.
Okay,
meteoroids are about the size of a grain of sand, but they do give off huge amounts of light, and the average one is about up to 100 miles above the ground. And yet you can see a grain of sand from 100 miles away over the entire country at the same time. It gives you some idea of the ferocity of the burning up process. And that's because of the speed. These things are traveling typically 10 times the speed of a bullet. And as you increase the speed, the energy they have goes up by what's called the square law. So if you double the speed, you quadruple the energy and therefore the brightness. So if you're going 10 times the speed of a bullet, you've got 100 times more energy than a bullet. It probably actually means a grain of sand has got about the total energy of, you know, a pretty large bullet.
So, sorry, just to recap there, a grain of sand 100 miles above the Earth is going so fast that we could see it.
Yeah, we're seeing it so much as the fiery streak that it produces. So when it hits the atmosphere, it starts hitting the atoms of the Earth's atmosphere and knocks electrons out of them. And those electrons recombine and give off bits of light. And it's that light that we're seeing. So the process itself, if you've seen a shooting star, typically a second or less. There are some big ones that can last a few seconds, but most are of the order of a second or so. They zip across the sky. And that's why if you're observing in a group, we always tell people, face in different directions, because, you know, you might see two together if you're standing side by side, but you double the number you're going to see if one person's facing one way and you've got your back to them and you're facing the other way. If you've got four people, you can look north, south, east and west and cover practically the entire sky. Not a single Geminid meteor will escape you if you're observing in a group. And we want people to count the meteors and send in their counts to us. And if you are doing it in a group, it's important you don't count each other's meteors. It has to be how many a single person sees on their own. Because that way we can compare that to results going back years and see if the showers are getting stronger, which this one is, or weaker as the years and decades tick by.
So you're encouraging people to get out there and count them and report them back to you?
Yeah. I mean, you need to wrap up well this time of year. Weather forecast, we're actually a few degrees above average, so this is going to be a particularly good year for watching them. I've watched them with snow on the ground in the past. There's another meteor shower people will probably know of in August when you can practically watch it in your shirt sleeves. You won't be doing that in December. But that meteor shower has declined somewhat, and this one is about twice as strong. So it definitely is the king of all meteor showers, called the Geminids. happening all this week, but Wednesday and Thursday nights are the peak. And you should go out about 5 minutes beforehand to give your eyes a chance to get used to the dark, especially if you've been looking at a bright screen.
Yes.
Your eyes increase their sensitivity over a half an hour, but in the first 5 minutes, you get most of your nighttime sensitivity. If you just stick your head out for a few seconds and look up, you practically won't even see any stars. That's not the way to do it. You only use that just to check if the sky is clear.
If
you put your coat on, wrap up well, a hat, because most of our body heat escapes through our heads, scarf as well, gloves, and you'll be parky then to count how many meteors you see every 15 minutes. Maybe you'll last an hour. Some of those crazy people will be out from dusk until dawn.
Oh, I don't think you're crazy. I think it's brilliant. Anything going on in the sky is just fascinating. And it often gets me, David, that we're just walking around, you know, getting on with our business, and there's so much going on above us. And, you know, December is such a great time of year to look upwards because it's generally quite clear. But tell me, you mentioned there that there's one usually in August. So is this an annual event? This happens at the same time every year? Or, sorry, just for... my ignorance, tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, what's happening is, of course, the Earth's going around the Sun every year, and in this case, what we call a rock comet called Phaeton has spread debris all around its orbit. So it's been around the Sun thousands, maybe millions of times, and it's left a whole donut ring, if you like, around the Sun of these particles. So when we get to this point in our orbit, we're closest to that rock comet's orbit as well. That's when the densest stream of debris is. So it'll always happen at the same time each year because that's when we're getting to this part of our orbit. So meteor showers always happen roughly the same time each year. It varies by a day or two because there's a leap day that we add every 4 years. Next year is a leap year, for example, that will reset things. So typically 13th of December, give or take a day, is when the maximum is. And we can tie down the maximum fairly accurately to within a few hours. And that's going to be on Thursday itself. But that means people viewing on Wednesday night into Thursday morning are very close to the maximum activity. And the direction the meteors come from is higher in the morning than it is in the evening. So actually, Thursday morning before sunrise would be the ideal time. But it's a fairly meandering event. It doesn't peak very suddenly. Some meteor showers do. There's one in January that does in just a few hours. But most of them last several days near their maximum. So all of Wednesday night, all of Thursday night, that's when you should see 20 times more, and that's why it's an annual event as well.
Wow, 20
And, you know, it'd be a shame if everybody was sitting indoors on Wednesday night, Thursday night, the skies are clear over Ireland, and there are thousands of meteors happening in the sky above them, and they can't see them because they haven't stuck their head outside.
We
want everybody to know to go outside and watch, especially if it's clear. And there is a ridge of high pressure due over Ireland on Wednesday and Thursday. As if the universe knew that we wanted to watch this meteor shower.
Fantastic. And obviously yourselves being here in Dublin and North Dublin, there's a lot of light pollution from not only the city but the airport. Is it possible to see from areas like this, or would you need equipment, or where would you suggest that we go?
Yeah, well, there are more of the faint meteors, the Geminids, than there are the bright ones. So people in towns and cities will still see all the bright ones, but those people who live outside the city, away from artificial streetlights, will get the best views because the brighter ones will look brighter and the dim ones you'll be able to see those. So the 20 times more is a great way of leveling it for everybody. If you only see one an hour in the city, you're going to see 20 an hour. If you see 10 an hour out in the country, you're going to see 200 an hour. So 20 times more than you're used to seeing is a handy figure to go by. So if you can get out of a town or a city, you definitely should. That's certainly what I'll be doing.
Where do you watch yourself?
You check the weather forecast. Determined to see the best meteor shower of the year, I would travel anywhere in the country to see it. Mm-hmm. So if we find out Donegal is clear, that's where we're off to. If it was Wexford or Kerry, I've headed that far in the past to see this meteor shower. And, you know, again, when you get there, 5 minutes to give your eyes a chance to get used to the dark. You can try photographing them. They're actually tricky to photograph. Human eyes are much more sensitive than most cameras. So, you know, we want people to count them for wherever they are and just tell us where they are, how many you saw each 15 minutes. It shows you how to do it on the website. There's an article in the December issue of Astronomy Island magazine, which thousands of people get all around the country. You can order it online now on our website, astronomy.ie, which is where you need to go to see where to send your reports. And those reports will all be included in the future issue of the magazine, recording what Ireland saw of the best meteor shower of the year.
Brilliant. So if you report it, it will be featured. And
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, just tell us the name of the magazine again, please.
Astronomy Ireland.
Ah, there we go. Keep it simple. Fantastic. So,
same name as the club. We just call the magazine. Same name as the club to make everything simple.
Oh yeah, you're dead right. It's so fascinating, and it's great because, like that, as I said, like we're in Dublin, so we have a lot of light pollution, but the majority of Ireland is quite, you know, quite dark.
Well, we have some of the darkest skies in the world.
Yeah,
because we're on the edge of the continent, and Ireland has relatively low population density, certainly of all the EU countries. And most of the people in Ireland live in the three or four major cities. So the countryside is not only sparsely populated, but also it's fairly flat and easy to get to. If you look at nighttime satellite pictures of other countries, see, oh, they have nice big dark spots. But they're usually mountain ranges, which are very inaccessible.
Yes.
We've got all these flat fields and country lanes you can go up and find somewhere dark to look at. Even if you just want a quick view and you live in Dublin City, you can nip up just to the north looking out over County Meath, and there's not many towns in that direction. So if you're facing somewhere north, looking between Navan and Drogheda, for instance, you get a very good view of the Northern Lights. And I've photographed it many times, three times this year, in fact.
Say that from Drogheda, did you say?
Predictions off of the aurora, go to our social media. You'll see links to those on our website as well.
Definitely. Well, you may have a new member in me. David, I love the sound of this.
Well, and you and everybody else listening is very welcome. You know, and there's so much that people are missing out. I mean, this isn't the only thing happening this month. We're going to have the planet Jupiter, which you can see blazing in the east. An incredible sight last night. Always is. And it'll be near the moon, I think it's the 22nd of December. It'll do it again next month. There's Saturn on view as well. You can see with the naked eye. There's so much to see with the naked eye. Then add a pair of binoculars, which are 20 or 30 quid these days, or a small telescope if you want to get really serious. Might spend around 100 quid on one of those, and you'll start to see detail on the moon that will blow your mind. And some people don't even want to look out and get cold. They just like reading about all the discoveries and the incredible pictures we flood the magazine with every month. So, you know, you can give a gift membership of the magazine to people this Christmas. You'll see that on our website, or sign up for yourself.
Yeah, and definitely.
And then if you need any help, you've got Astronomy Ireland, the world's most popular astronomy society, to help you.
But it's, you know what, what I'm thinking here as a mother, it's a fantastic thing to maybe do with your kids, because, you know, they're so indoors all the time. It's such a lovely thing to go outside and have a late night and, you know, watch a meteor show. So, it sounds great.
Something special they'll remember for the rest of their lives. And, you know, it's part of nature. Part of the universe. I get them asking questions about where do they come from, the questions you've been asking me, which will expand their minds. It's exactly what happened to me. I couldn't believe when I first found out about astronomy, long before the days of the internet, what was going on out there in space and why they weren't teaching it to us in school.
Yeah.
And I read everything I possibly could and ended up, you know, going to university to do a degree in science. And that's what it can lead to. Even if you don't end up becoming an astronomer, there are fantastic, well-paid jobs in science in Ireland these days. It wasn't back in my day where people emigrated, but now they're screaming for science graduates. So it won't just be they get to see a lovely natural spectacle. It could lead to a whole lucrative career.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it is. It's fascinating. And it's just, as I said, I often just sit back and go, that's going on all the time up there. Well, we're just busying ourselves, getting shopping and parking the car and all that kind of stuff. So you were going to...
Yeah, and there's more to come. You know, there'll be that other meteor shower in August. This will repeat next December. There are two comets coming next year that we know of that will be visible to the naked eye. There could be others that will be discovered during the year. Two eclipses, two comets, two meteor showers. And those are things to see where the moon passes planets and other sights in the sky as well. Plus, we'll get unexpected aurora that we only get about 2 days notice of, International Space Station flying over, and lots more. There's just so much happening every month. It's hard to keep up sometimes.
Oh, but that, it's brilliant. It's a never-ending series of entertainment. And just tell us the difference, David. Now, I know myself, astronomy versus astrology, because a lot of people are getting into astrology lately and moon cycles, myself included, to be honest. So just kind of explain a little bit about that, if you can.
Yeah, well, astrology and astronomy were linked thousands of years ago, mm-hmm. because people were looking at all these things we've just been talking about. There were no telescopes before 400 years ago. And they didn't understand what was going on out in space. In fact, it was usually attributed to gods and the influence of the gods on human affairs. And that's where astrology came from. Mm-hmm. People thought that they could link things happening in the sky to human affairs. Eventually, astronomy became a science, only fairly recently, and it left astrology behind. And there have been lots of studies into why astrology should work, because if the universe was affecting human affairs, there's no known law of nature that explains that, and it would be a whole new area of extremely important science, because we could predict the future, predict what's going to happen to people. So vast numbers of very intelligent people have looked into it over the centuries, mm. and they found that it turns out to be just the quirk of psychology. And the simplest way to explain is, mm-hmm. if you tell somebody 10 things about themselves, 9 of them are not true. So let's say you're good with money or you're bad with money, something like that. People will forget about the 9 things that are wrong, yes. and obsess about the 1 thing that is right. And so it appears that astrology works. Yet it turns out in vast studies, for instance, when the astrologers predict what's going to happen in the coming year, and then that's reviewed at the end of that year, it turns out they get things right as much as you would expect by random chance. Mm-hmm. So when people have an unusual experience, they reinforce it, they tell all their friends, and it gives an exaggerated opinion of whether astrology works or not. So it's really about human psychology and not actually astronomy. It's a I great see. Pity, because we would be extremely popular if we could predict the future in Astronomy Ireland. But the truth is, it's well studied. I've talked about this on the Late Show. Oh. To 1 million people in the past, and it doesn't stop people from reading their horoscopes every day.
Well, do you know what? It's an interest.
I'm afraid.
It's the ever meandering conversation between spirituality and science, isn't it? Fascinating either way.
Yeah, it's actually quite interesting. A lot of my colleagues in the astronomy fund who know it shouldn't work, and then if they look into it and find out the studies have been done, will just dismiss it immediately. But we shouldn't do that, because it's a very important trait of human psychology going on.
Yeah.
If you throw the baby out of the bathwater if you don't think about the psychology, because it explains why people can make big mistakes in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Not to do with astrology, just to do with psychology, because, you know, we the way we're designed, for some reason, to obsess about certain facts and ignore other ones, that's never a good idea. And I think the human psychology that astrology teaches us is extremely important.
Yeah, like I just think it's important to have an open mind wherever you are. And as you said, it may not be exactly how it appears, the horoscopy thing right now, but if it benefits or has links to psychology, it's worth the conversation.
Well, it's worth, I think, studying the psychology and forgetting about the astrology. I remember talking to Marion Finucane show on RT Radio 1 year ago.
Mm-hmm.
There were 3 astrologers and me on a panel.
Oh, and, God. You were outnumbered.
Yeah, but I've done a lot of research on astrology over the decades, because it was an area that fascinated me as to why do people believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting quite animated. Marion actually stopped the conversation. Why are you getting so upset and excited about the whole thing? And what I explained to her at the time is that Ronald Reagan was in power, and his wife, Nancy Reagan, was appointing White House staff on the basis of their horoscope.
I know.
No, does not work.
That's
dangerous. Because,
that's,
you know, the wife of the man who had the finger on the button, and that was the finger on the button was more serious than it is today. So, you know, if you don't explain to people that, you know, you're making a mistake, we have looked into this, we have studied it, we have explained it. What more do you want? It just doesn't work. Believe in something else, but not astrology.
Well, I think with anything, you can't generalize people on one aspect of them, be it a star sign or anything else, a race and education and anything.
It makes sense that way as well. Of course, to be fair now to astrologers, they all say that the ones you read in the newspapers, they're just generalizations and for a bit of fun. But these are the real horoscopes where you see sit down with an astrologer and they give you a specific chart for you, which is proper astrology, and they're the ones that were studied and shown not to work. Like I say, I wish they did. It would give us a vast insight into the cosmos, but I'm afraid astrology is not the way to get insight into the cosmos.
Interesting conversation either way. But David, you have here evening classes in January. Tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah, now people want to know more. We have a whole course, because people used to ask us, some people, a magazine is a magazine, it's not a book, you're not supposed to read it cover to cover, but people do. And so it covers everything. So one page you're reading about astronauts, and next month we'll have the story about the first Irish satellite, then you'll be reading about reports of meteors. It's a vast area. And so people said, I want to know more about everything, is there a course? And so we set one up specifically to cover the entire universe.
Oh, yeah.
That was a few decades ago, and now thousands of people all over the country have taken them. It's by far the most popular astronomy course in the country. And we have a brilliant tutor, John Campbell, who's a YouTube astronomer to boot. And so he's, first of all, a researcher. He works in the area, but he also knows how to explain things at a simple level to people who have no scientific training. So he'll cover everything from the sun, the moon, and the planets out to the cosmology and the Big Bang, life in the universe, and practical things like how to use a telescope, find your way around the sky. You'll see a full list of the eight topics that are covered over the 8 weeks. And they start on January 31st, but you can enroll now. You can even give the classes again as a gift. If you're not a member, we'll sign you up to the magazine as part of the package. So once the course is over, every month the magazine will top up your knowledge, month in, month out. So it's a great way, if you want to make this a serious hobby, one of your main hobbies, to get involved. Just join Astronomy On anyway. But do the evening classes for beginners. Astronomy for Beginners is the title. And you'll, you've got 8 classes, 2 hours each. That's 16 hours of talks. You're bound to learn something just in all that.
Absolutely. And what a lovely gift for the stargazer in your life. Such a different and a lovely, lovely gift. And so are these held online, or where are they held?
Yeah, they're held online now. Originally, they had to be physically held. We had them in 12 locations around the country. Mm-hmm. But now everyone can watch them from the comfort of their own front room.
Fabulous.
Or bedroom. Watch them on your phone if you wish. So it's really expanded the classes out to the whole 32 counties. In fact, people can watch them from abroad as well.
Great, great. So 8 2-hour classes, as you said, and it will give you the basics into astronomy and, as you said, using some basic
equipment. Yeah, there's no master science per se involved. It's not like a leaving cert physics course. It's just to take people from, I'm fascinated with what's up there, and give them an overview of every area of astronomy. If you want to study it in more detail, we actually have some advanced classes that run in the summer. And if you get really, really serious, we don't do it, but we then can point you in the way of some of the academic classes. Some people have gone on to get degrees in astronomy with places like the Open University. But for now, beginner's guide to astronomy, you don't need to have done maths or any of the science subjects for your leaving cert. If you just want to know a bit more about everything, that's what those classes are designed to do. So they're for everybody, kids, young and old alike.
They sound absolutely fantastic, David. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. And if they want to find out a little bit more, just give the website again, please.
It's simply astronomy.ie. So for free, down the bottom, you'll see Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Sign up for those. Anything happening in the sky, we'll warn you about it. There'll always be more details in the magazine. You'll see the join link there. Costs about €1 a week. And we'll have a weekly email that goes out to the members as well, reminding them of things happening. That's really the best way to keep in touch. If you can afford €1 a week, do join Astronomy Ireland, and at the very least, follow us on social media. And all the classes and everything else, all the events, they're all there on astronomy.ie.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much, David. And we will be
out.
I will be, and you too. I will be out myself tomorrow evening, most definitely. Hopefully, we'll see some.
Even cloudy, I'll be out there watching for breaks from the clouds.
Okay.
Wednesday night and Thursday night.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.